Well, good morning, everyone, and thanks again for joining us on this Sunday morning. Our theme today is the goodness of God. But of course, that can raise in our minds this question, thinking of God's goodness, what about this terrible virus that's afflicting the whole world? Where do you see God's goodness when something like this happens? And so I wanted to begin this week with a new song that's been written here in Yorkshire, and which gives the Christian's response to this pandemic, and contains the words, "In you," speaking of God, "in you my hope remains, Christ will be my hide away."
I will.
rejoice in that truth, that in our God we trust, and Christ is our hideaway. Thanks again for your contacts. Heard this week from Terry and from Charles and Vicky. Charles and Vicky with the good news that their house in Cookridge has been sold very quickly, and we're glad about that. Heard from Sharon and Cam and Stephen and others. And as I think of that list of names, I was reminded this week of that song. I think it was the 3 Degrees, which begins the opening line, "When will I see you again? When will we share precious moments?" Don't worry, I'm not going to sing it to you, but it came to my mind, when will we ever be together again? But we keep on trusting that our God will bring all of us back together again with, I hope, I really hope, that we'll all of us have a renewed commitment to serve him. Well, if you've got a Bible and would like to turn with me to Psalm 119, Psalm 119, we're not going to read it all, of course, but I wanted just to read to you the section from verse 65, Psalm 119, verse 65. "Do good to your servant according to your word, O Lord. Teach me knowledge and good judgment, for I believe in your commands. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I obey your word. You are good, and all you do is good. Teach me your decrees. Though the arrogant have smeared me with lies, I keep your precepts with all my heart. Their hearts are callous and unfeeling, but I delight in your law. It was good for me to be afflicted, so that I might learn your decrees. The law from your mouth is more precious to me than thousands of pieces of silver and gold." So, as I say, I wanted us today, in this series that's going on and on, really, a series of Our God, looking at what our God is like, to remind us and to help us to rest and rely and worship him. And the truth that I want to focus on this morning is that our God is good, the goodness of God. And so the psalmist says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good." And we remember the words of Jesus to that rich young ruler when he said, "No one is good except God alone." And later in the New Testament, we read that every good gift comes from God. So the Bible is full of teaching that our God is good. But what does it mean when it says that God is good? Well, I want us to use that 68th verse of the psalm that we read, which says, "You are good, and all you do is good." And so, speaking of God, the psalmist says, first of all, "You are good." God is good in himself. God is the ultimate in goodness. We all want what's good. This virus is bad, and we can't wait to be rid of it, if ever. We all seek for good, but when we get what we think is good, there always seems to be something even better. But in saying that God is good, the Bible is saying that there is nothing or no one better than God. And therefore, not to know God means that you and your life is massively deprived. Doesn't matter what else you've got. If you haven't God living with you and in you, you're missing out on the best. And so the psalmist says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Find out for yourself and you will see that the greatest good of all is God." The Bible is full of warnings that when we replace God in our lives with the gifts a good God freely gives to people, when our lives are taken up with the things around us, then we find that we always need more of them. And so we become addicted to getting things. And that is what sin is. It's rejecting God. It's forgetting him. It's not desiring him. It's running after all those other things. It's turning our backs on the source of goodness, of joy and satisfaction. So not to know God means that you and I have seriously diminished our lives. And that's the first thing I want us to remember, that God is good, that God is the best. There's nothing, no one that is better than knowing God. Second part of that verse says of God that all you do is good. God is good, and because he is good, all he does is good. He is good to us. He gives you what is good, and he desires what is good for you. God is a generous God. He's not a stingy God. He's not stingy with his goodness. He desires us to have what will give us joy and peace and gladness. God is so kindly disposed to his children. He desires to bless us. He's good to us. Just think about how God sustains his creation. Planet Earth, despite this virus, is a good place to be. Everything that I've seen about other planets show that they are not good places to be. But God has made and given us a good place to live and to enjoy. And incidentally, well, don't let me go off at a tangent, but I must remind us again that God is not going to scrap his creation. He's not going to scrap his world. The Bible doesn't end with God taking Christians up into the sky somewhere. Oh no, the Bible ends with heaven and the Godhead coming to earth. Well, if you don't believe me, read Revelations 20 and 21. The fallenness of sin and death all taken away and creation set free, and the earth will be filled with the glory of God as the waters cover the sea. It's wonderful. What a future for the Christian. And all because our God is good. But how do we see God's goodness now, today, and in the coming days? Well, let me spend my final few minutes of this message reminding you of the account of God's people Israel there in the Old Testament. After God miraculously rescued them from Egypt, miraculously provided a way for them to cross the Red Sea, and as they travel to further on, Moses meets God on Mount Sinai, where God makes a binding covenant with his people, and Moses receives the law of God, the Ten Commandments. But you remember while Moses is up on the mountaintop, God's people Israel, just a matter of 6 or 7 weeks after God had rescued them, we find them completely rejecting him, turning to idols and terrible sinning. And you know the story so well, how Moses pleads with God on behalf of such a sinful, evil people. And the point I make is that shortly after that incident, Moses asked God, "Let me see your glory. I can't lead these people until I know that you are with me and I know and see your glory." Now, God's glory is the full display of all that God is, all his character. And God says to Moses, "You can't see me, Moses, and live. But I will shelter you in a cleft of the rock, and when I pass by, you can see my back, and I will let all my goodness pass before you." So, what was that goodness that Moses saw in God? Well, chapter 34 of Exodus, verse 6 tells us, it says, "The Lord, the compassionate, the gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion and sin." And so that's what God's goodness is. That's what God's goodness is to you today. God says, "I am a compassionate God, a gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, forgiving wickedness, forgiving sin." That's God's goodness in our need. We who deserve God's wrath and judgment find grace in God's goodness, and we find it continually. It's inexhaustible, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness and forgiveness. This is our good God. And you know, it almost sounds too good to be true until you look at the Lord Jesus. And so the Apostle John, speaking of Jesus, says, "We have seen his glory." So where is God's glory seen in its full extent? And the answer is there at the cross, where Jesus dies for guilty sinners. All of God's goodness alongside God's justice. God will not wink at sin. God doesn't turn a blind eye to sin. God has to punish sin. So on the cross, God sees all the wrong and rebelliousness of my sin and your sin put on the sinless Jesus. It was as if Jesus were made me. And having paid the full penalty for my sin, now it is in God's sight that I were he. And we're going to say that to you again, that on the cross, it was as if Jesus were made me. And having paid that price, penalty for my sin, now in God's sight, it is just as though I were he. And so, dear brothers and sisters, how do you respond? How do we respond to the goodness of God? I wonder what difference hearing this will make to our lives. Well, I believe we should be just full of thanksgiving. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. You and I have lots more time now than we normally have. Are you thanking him more in the time there that you have for being so good to you? Do you start your day and continue through the day thanking him at every opportunity? The psalmist says, "How can I repay the Lord for all his goodness to me?" Let's get into the habit counting our blessings, and then trusting him. Trust him that you know and believe that above and beyond this fallen world is a good God, and therefore evil and badness can't win and won't win. Isn't that encouraging? So may our good God bless us and keep us thankful and trusting him. Amen. And can I just say that one way we can show our thankfulness with the extra time that we have is to spend a little bit more time reading the Bible. And there's a letter there in the New Testament, the letter to Titus, and it's all about goodness. Why not read it this week? It'll only take you 10 minutes. Read it, study it. And when we're together again, my plan is to have a closer look at this letter that Paul sends to Titus. And so now our prayer. Lord, as we live our lives today and in the coming days, please help us not to lose sight of you and all your goodness shown to us. Give us hearts full of gratitude and trust. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, next time I want us to think about how our God is the God of love. But I want us to close now with this old hymn, song, that reminds us what a privilege we have when we think of God's goodness to daily count our blessings.